You are very welcome to Bali Baptist tonight. We bid you welcome for our second cantata night. There are some people here who have been very ill and have been able to make it tonight. There's people who are here for the very first time, and we want to bid you welcome in the Lord's name. Let's pray together right at the start. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for friendship and fellowship. We thank you for the noise, even as we sat waiting for the meeting to start. And we thank you for friendships and conversations that are being made. But Father, just now we pray you will settle our hearts. We pray that you'll help us to focus on the message of Christmas. That Father, we might be challenged as to what really it is all about. Give help to the choir tonight. Father, we pray that everything that is done will have your hand of approval and your seal of blessing. So, Father, we commit the service to thee in the Savior's name. Amen. We're going to start with a carol. This is your test to see if you can get into the choir next year, okay? So it's number 149. If you use the book, it will be in the overhead. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye. O come ye to Bethlehem. it looks as if we're going to have a big choir next year. Huh? That was well sung. Thank you. Let's pray again. Let's pray together. Eternal God, already in our opening carol, we have traveled in mind to the manger and beheld the King of Angels, and we adore him. Father, we find it amazing that the answer to our sin problem is wrapped up in this little baby born to save. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He was the supreme sacrifice for sin. And our Father, we find it amazing that this little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes died on the cross, rose from the dead, and now is exalted in heaven. Father, we do thank you tonight for each one gathered, for friends and family and neighbours. And Father, we ask that you will bless the choir tonight as we tell again the story that is old but ever new. Father, we do pray for those unable to be with us. And Father, we do pray that you will bless them. We think of those recently bereaved. And Father, our heart goes out to them. And we pray that your sustaining grace will be their portion. Father, we pray that you will touch people in this service individually. Father, we thank you that you don't save en masse, but rather speak into individual hearts. And so, our Father, we pray that in a powerful and individual way, you will challenge each one of us. Father, most of all, we ask that you will exalt the Christ of Christmas, the one who came, the one who died, that we might know forgiveness of sin. And Father, we do pray that all that is done tonight will go down to the glory of his name and to the extension of your kingdom. These things we pray in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. Our cantata choir is not a church choir. That is, we don't have a choir every a week in our fellowship. These are just a group of Christians who come together at the beginning of October and practice hard for this tonight and last night. So we're not professional singers, but we want to tell you from our hearts about the message of Christmas. It's not just a story to tell to the children. It's not just something to fill the storybooks. We believe this message with all our heart, that in the fullness of time, because of our sin, God sent his Son to be our Savior. The narrators tonight in our choir is Claire Calderwood and Pauline Fenton. We have a guest soloist this year, our brother Jeff Sloss, and we are indebted to Jeff for stepping in and helping us. And our musical director is Alison Hargay, and Alison has been working so hard these past weeks and months. The cantata is called The Heart of Christmas, and I'm going to call on the choir to come just now. Thank you, choir.
Away in the winter, a long time ago, on a holy star. God with us, what a thought. God, the architect, ruler, and sustainer of all creation, choosing to become one of us, choosing to come to earth with the heartbeat of a baby.
One night in a stable in Bethlehem's town, the King of all kings from heaven came down. He was born of a virgin, as the prophets foretold. He came to this earth from a city of gold.
He gave no crown to prove he was king. No title or peace. He owned everything that heaven proclaimed. His master's king.
His throne to come to earth, choosing to become one of us. The story of Christmas is a story about choices. We are going to discover that every person who took part in the wondrous event we call Christmas was faced with choices, beginning with God. For God himself chose the perfect moment in time and the precise location for the birth of the Saviour. He chose a common teenage girl to be the mother of his son. I wonder, how many of us have ever pondered or considered the dilemma of this young Jewish girl named Mary, the one God had chosen? She was engaged and waiting for her wedding day when an angel appeared to announce that God had selected her to bear his son.
Although God had chosen Mary, would she submit to the will of her Lord? You see, God would never force Mary to do something contrary to her will. For God gave mankind, from the beginning of time, the freedom of choice. Would she choose to obey God, or would she run away? Would she tell Joseph, her fiancé, of her glorious blessing, or would she hide in shame?
What
would her parents think? What would her friends think? Surely she realized the consequences. Yet, she still chose to surrender to the Lord's marvelous plan for her life. "Be it unto me according to thy word," was Mary's choice. And completely. Just as God chose Mary, he had also chosen Joseph to be the earthly father to his heavenly son. Now Joseph was a just man, and after hearing of a coming child, not wanting to disgrace Mary, he decided to secretly break the engagement. But God intervened and sent the angel of the Lord to Joseph in a dream and told him the child that Mary was carrying was conceived in her by the Holy Spirit. Joseph pushed back his fear and chose to obey the voice of God and took Mary as his wife.
My trembling heart has many questions. Lord, I don't really understand, but you've assured me of your presence. I surrender to your plan. I will be your servant, body, mind, and soul. Yield it to you, Father. I give you full control. Choose to do your will, your will. I will be your servant, body, mind, and soul. Give it to you, Father. I give you full control.
Mary brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And suddenly a multitude of the heavenly host began praising God, and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Christ, peace on earth and goodwill to men. Heavenly angels and masters arise in the little town of Bethlehem. Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy. He was born to save the world from sin. Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah to the Lord, amen. Glory in the highest, high and earth and goodwill to men.
Humble hearts were filled with fear when the angel of the Lord and the glory of his presence lit up the sky that first Christmas. The angel revealed to them that a Savior had been born. Leaving their flock and their responsibility, the shepherds hurriedly travelled to Bethlehem to find this baby who was Christ the Lord. And there he was, lying in a manger, just as the angel had said. Scriptures reveal that they could not contain what they saw and what they heard. It's amazing that common keepers of sheep were the first to be invited to see the Saviour of the world. Think what the shepherds would have missed had they chosen to disregard God's invitation.
We are not certain of the exact time, but we do know that men of great wisdom from a distant country saw a brilliant star. Leaving houses and lands, they chose to follow that majestic star, wherever it would lead, and no matter how long the journey would be. What would cause these men to follow a star? Why would they spend a portion of their life and their own money looking for a king of another kingdom? These honourable men searched diligently, bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were determined to find the young king and to worship him.
We're looking for the king, the new Messiah. We're following the star, shining brighter. Leave man, won't you help us if you can? He shook his head and pointed his hand. There's a new shining time.
Consider the human side of this story. The star that led the wise men brought them first to the city of Jerusalem. It's not surprising that these learned men went through official channels in their search for the Messiah. They questioned Herod, the governor of Judea, as to the whereabouts of this new king. They had to consult the chief priests and scribes to learn that the ancient scrolls had prophesied Bethlehem, a small village just 5 miles from Jerusalem, as the place where Christ, the Messiah, would be born. I can imagine, as these men entered this town of prophecy, they probably stopped someone and inquired where the king might be found. Yet those who lived within the very town did not know the Son of God was in their midst.
Travels far, bearing treasure. You say these gifts are for the new king's pleasure. I heard that a king might come, but until now there hasn't been one. There's a new child in town,
and I think it's just a few doors down the road. There's a new child in town, but he's just another baby, I suppose.
The love that came gently that night in Bethlehem changed the world forever. This one who was prophesied by the ancients, proclaimed by the angels, praised by the shepherds, and pursued by wise men. He is Saviour, Redeemer, Lord and King. And the angel told Mary to call his name Jesus.
The world, people will celebrate this holiday season in some form or fashion. Many of them not really understanding why this time of year is so alive, so anticipated, why it touches our emotions. What is Christmas? What is at the heart of it all? Let me ask you what the most memorable Christmas that comes to your mind. As a child, what was the best gift you ever received? Was it a certain baby doll? Or maybe a brand new bicycle, or a go-kart, some toy, or favourite game. For you adults, was it something sparkly that went on your finger? Maybe it was in the driveway, with a big bow in the windscreen. There are some of you older folks that remember when families weren't as financially blessed as they are today. It was a treat to get an apple, a couple of oranges, maybe some walnuts or peanuts.
Others of you would say, the best Christmas that you can ever remember was when the family was all together, in the same house, under the same roof, and life was simple. How easy it is in the day we live to miss the heart of Christmas. All the collected memories, the celebrating, the feasting, our most precious and favourite gifts cannot compare to the gift that laid in the manger on Christmas morn. You see, The heart of Christmas is Jesus, God's gift. The gift that is beyond what you and I could ever comprehend. The greatest gift of all time, for it is the gift of eternal life. The heart of Christmas is the heart of God Himself. God reaching down from heaven to love, to redeem mankind. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that we would not perish, but have everlasting life. God's greatest gift can be yours and it can be mine. Each of us must choose what we will do with the gift that God extends to us.
Some say life is just a series of decisions. We make choices. We live and learn. Now I'm standing at a crossroads, and I must choose which way to turn. Down one road is all the world can offer. All its power, its wealth and fame. Down the other, just a man with nail scars in his hands. But there is mercy in his eyes, and there is power in his name. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus without a solitary doubt. I choose Jesus not for miracles, but for loving me. Not just for Bethlehem, but for Calvary. Not for a day, but for eternity. I choose Jesus. follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I'm gonna follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Chose to follow Jesus years ago and have worshipped this King for many Christmases. Christmas calls us to remember that a Saviour came to give us life. It calls us to remember Mary's complete surrender, Joseph's willing heart, the shepherd's blind faith, the wise men's determination to worship. Christmas calls to the followers of Jesus to remember our commitment and our need to give the Lord first place in our lives. And yes, Christmas calls us to remember the sweet and precious memories surrounding this time of year.
Family around the tree, children laughing merrily, unwrapping shiny toys, making so much noise. Waited patiently all year, and now the day is finally here. But in the middle of it all, we stop as we recall, and though we love this special feeling this day gives us, still in our hearts we realize it's not Christmas
until we gather around that old piano, singing songs of joy again. Oh, what a holy night, sharing smiles by candlelight, and then we read that old familiar story of how a Savior came from glory to bring us peace on earth. Through the wonder of His birth, and though we live for this one moment each December,
still it's not Christmas. Boxes and the bowls, it's not playing in the snow, or the family gathered near, that we hold most dear. Those memories that we possess of so many Christmases, celebrating Christ the King. That's the most important thing. So once again, we ask you, Father, to remind us. So in our hearts, we will not forget that it's not Christmas until we gather around that old piano, singing songs of joy again. Oh, what a holy night, sharing smiles by candlelight. And then we read that old familiar story of how a Savior came from glory to bring us peace on earth through the wonder of His birth. And though we live for this one moment each December,
still it's not Christmas. Joy again. Oh, what a holy night, sharing smiles by candlelight. And then we read that old familiar story of how a Savior came from glory to bring us peace on earth through the wonder of His birth.
For this one moment each December,
still it's not Christmas.
No,
it's not Christmas.
Still we
heart of Christmas is Jesus,
God's greatest gift. We are here to celebrate His birth, for we have made our choice to worship, honor, and serve this Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
Sing hallelujah, the Lord is God. He is Messiah.
Joy to the world, come let us worship the King. Joy to the world. choose Jesus. Without a solitary doubt, I choose Jesus.
Thank you to the choir. Thank you to Alison Hargay. Thank you to Jeff Sloss, to Claire and to Pauline, and every choir member. You will appreciate that that does not come together in a night or two or an hour or two, but many, many hours of hard work. And I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you have appreciated something of the message of Christmas. Our scripture reading is just one verse tonight. And it's taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse number 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There are some things that are very difficult to wrap. A bicycle is one of them. It's not easy to wrap up a bike. Or it's not easy to wrap up a ball. It's hard to just get all it nice and neat and even. Or a tennis racket. It's hard to wrap a tennis racket. Some are good at wrapping presents and being able to disguise what's inside the paper. And then the rest of us spend hours holding the gift, or shaking it, or weighing it, trying to guess what treasure is inside. The verse that we read tonight, we have an amazing wrapping. Not paper, but swaddling clothes. Not a ball, but a baby. And as Mary wrapped her new baby in linen blankets, she was, in fact, wrapping up God's present for the world. And I want to just spend a moment, because I know you're all tired this time of night. I know the choir will probably be asleep before I finish. But I want to remind you a few things about this baby, because this baby was unique. It was different to every other baby that was ever born. And I want to mention three ways that this gift of God to the world was so special. First of all, this baby had a history. Now that's strange. Most babies only have a beginning. A little baby starts life with conception in the womb, and then 9 months later makes its public appearance to great excitement and lots of relief. But this baby had a history. Because this little baby that we have been singing about was in fact the God of heaven, Emmanuel, God with us. This little baby was there at creation. This baby was there, speaking the worlds into existence. This baby was there in the Garden of Eden, whenever Adam sinned, and sin came part of our DNA, away back in those early days of creation. He was there whenever the patriarch Abraham left his homeland in Ur of the Chaldees and set it out for God. He was there on Mount Moriah whenever he took his son Isaac and put him on the altar. He was there whenever the Israelites left Egypt and went out over the Red Sea that was drawn back, and they went over in dry land. He was there. He was there at the Battle of Jericho, whenever they marched round the walls and blew the trumpets and the walls came crashing down. He was there whenever Daniel sat in the den of lions. This child, this amazing child, had an amazing history, because he was God amongst men. What an amazing truth. Secondly, this baby was amazing not only because it had a history, and it did, but amazing because it had a strategy. That's also strange. New babies do not have a plan or a strategy. Their life is very simple. They feed, they sleep, they bring up wind, go back to sleep again, feed, and so on. It's fairly straightforward. They have no plans. And their mums and dads might have big plans for them. And if you spoke to mum, she would say, well, I want him to be a doctor. And if you ask daddy, say, no, I want her to be a lawyer. Or I want them to be a footballer for Man United. Maybe Man United needs somebody at the moment. Or I want them to be a star, and I want them to be famous. But the baby doesn't have any plans or any strategy. But this baby's unique. This baby had a history, was there right from the creation of the world. In fact, was always there, was part of the Godhead. But this baby was born with a strategy. This baby was born with a plan. What was the plan? Some of you might say, well, I know what the plan was. The plan was that he would do miracles. And he certainly did miracles as he went about life. He touched the sick and he healed the lame and he raised the dead. And, oh, marvelous, fed the multitude. But that wasn't his strategy. That wasn't his plan. Oh, you say, I know what it was. His strategy was to preach. He was a preacher from Nazareth. That's what it was. He was a preacher. And he did preach. He preached the best of sermons. But that wasn't his strategy. You say, well, maybe his strategy, maybe his plan was to be a perfect example. To live life in such a way that everybody would admire him and follow him and say, that's who I want to be like. And he did do that. He did give the perfect example. But that wasn't his strategy. His strategy, his plan was to die. What an amazing plan. This is the only time a baby has been born and the sole purpose of them being born is to die. That was his strategy. You see, some toys that will be open on Christmas morning will be broken. Maybe getting down the chimney, or maybe the crowds of toys that have to be dealt with. I don't know. But sometimes, whenever the presents are open, there's one that's broken or won't work and the battery isn't fitting right. And whenever you and I were born, we were born broken. My Bible tells me that. You and I were born broken. Born with sin. Very sad, because we didn't have a relationship with our Creator God. We were alienated because of our sin, because we were broken. And we were going in one direction, and He was wanting us to go in that direction. And we were heading away from Him and away from the things of God because we were broken. And God loved us too much to leave us broken. He loves us so much that He sent His Son who fixes broken people. That's His strategy. Sin has polluted us. Sin has contaminated us. And this baby that we sing about and talk about that first Christmas is the only possible cure. That's why we love to sing at Christmas. Because we are bringing people the cure for the problem that sometimes they know they have and sometimes they don't know they have, but they have it. And we have the cure. And it's wrapped up in the Christ of Christmas, who came that very first Christmas. He came to die on the cross that first Easter. And He, through that death, provides forgiveness and cleansing and a new start to all who will repent and trust Him. You say, "Preacher, you've lost me. What does repentance mean?" It means a complete change of direction. It means saying, "No, I'm not going to travel this path anymore, because it's away from God and it's away from my Creator. I'm going to stop in my tracks. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go with God rather than this world. I'm trusting Him. I believe that I was broken because of sin, but Jesus, the Christ of Christmas, died on the cross to take my place." That was His strategy, to correct the brokenness of sin. This baby had a history. This baby had a strategy. Finally, this baby had an eternity. You see, this amazing plan of God did not finish at His death. You see, at 33 years of age, they took Him and they crucified Him. And they thought they had finished with Him and it was all over and done with. And they put Him in a tomb and they rolled the stone over the door. And they slept peacefully that night thinking it was all over. But this story did not end in failure. This story did not end in sadness. Because 3 days later, up from the grave, He arose. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. And He lives to ensure that the salvation plan keeps going on. And because He lives, I, as a preacher, can come to an audience like this And I can say, even though you are broken by sin, God has the solution. God sent the solution that first Christmas. And he came with a task that he would go to the cross. And when he was on the cross, God placed our sin upon him. Imagine that this is you. That's the weight of sin. Heavy. No matter what you do, you can't get rid of it. You can go to church. It's good to go to church. Doesn't move it. Read your Bible, learn all the verses. Still there. Be as good as you can. Be the best neighbor. The weight's still there. Over on this side is Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas. He's got no sin. No weight on him. But at Calvary, God takes our sin and puts them on Jesus. And punishes him for them instead of you and instead of me. That's what we're singing about. And whenever we trust him, we come into the good of it. I say to you, Christmas is not about a break from work, a holiday. Christmas is not about seeing the family and friends and chatting and getting up to date with all the latest news. Christmas is not about enjoying all the food that will be prepared. No. Christmas is about an amazing baby. A baby who was born, who had a history, who had a strategy, and who has an eternity. Who can save us, who can cleanse us, and who can prepare us for heaven. This Christmas, as you wrap those awkward shaped presents and you're trying to make it not so obvious what's inside, remember Luke 2 and 7. Mary wrapping God's present for the world. A unique, special present for you. He had a history. He was God, a very God. He had a strategy to save and redeem all who will trust him. He has an eternity. He lives today. And tonight, he's calling on you to put your trust in him. He's calling on you not to avoid him. Not to ignore him, not to reject him, but embrace him. Why? Why is it so important? Because the Christ of Christmas is the door to heaven. When you get to the end of life's journey, if you have Jesus, the door opens. And if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, it stays shut. And I can imagine you saying, but I was at the cantata, you know. I went to Bali Baptist, you know. I'm a good Presbyterian. I'm a good brother, you know. I'm a good Baptist. And God will say, sorry, I don't know you. I don't know you. The only thing that opens heaven is knowing Jesus Christ. And you've trusted him as your Savior. Thanks for coming. Can I say to you tonight, don't leave without your shortbread. Don't leave without your coffee or tea. But in God's name, don't leave without Jesus. Don't leave without Jesus. He is the cure for our problem of sin. And He opens heaven one day when our wee life's over. I trust that over Christmas time, you'll have a wonderful time with family and friends. But please, in the midst of it all, consider the Christ of Christmas. May God bless His word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for the Saviour. We thank You for the Christ child. And Father, at this time of the year, we'll be busy trying to get around friends and the family and wrapping presents and all the things that go with the season, eating far too much. Oh, but Father, we pray that at the center of all that we do will be this wonderful Savior, the Christ child, the only cure for sin. Father, may He be center, not just in our Christmas, but in our lives. For He alone opens the door to heaven. So, our Father, give deciding grace tonight. Take us all home in safety. We thank You for the refreshments that have been so lovingly made, so carefully presented. And our Father, we thank You for the choir who have put so much work in for these two nights. Bless them. Encourage them. And Father, we pray that we'll all have a wonderful Christ-centered Christmas. For we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen.